You're doing the hello bit, or am I doing the hello bit? Which one of us is Lionel Richie?
You. And I might, keep that, yeah. Right, go on.
Okay.
Right, stop.
Okay.
Take three.
Hello, and welcome to Talking Utter Slot, the podcast for those that like playing with small things. I'm Nick, and my co-host is Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hello. That was an unexpected twist on the usual one. Good morning. As you can probably tell, we're in a little bit of a frivolous mood this morning, so I hope that bodes well, as long as the software holds up. So we've got coming up, we've got things like the top 10, technically a top 9, because we haven't got all 10 cars, but top 10.
Maybe it's scope for us to make up number 10. We can just invent it.
What we wish number 10 was. Yeah, that's a good idea. What was Slot Rally was in, got on a boat, went overseas, almost international, because they went to the Isle of Man, and so we'll hear about that. There's some exciting news about new rally cars, exciting for me at least. And I've bought something like regularly, you know, on eBay, kind of like for lots of money rather than just
cheaper. Hashtag me too.
And you bought something. Oh! Well, Kate, do you want to kick off by telling us what you bought?
I have bought.
Have you got it?
It's for the first time ever. I have got something made by Polycar coming into my abode. I have bought.
I'm amazed. It's the first time ever.
Yeah, it is.
This is astonishing. Astonishing.
Well, it's sort of cheating because it was previously a slotted car. It's the Ferrari F40, which is in the blue pilot livery, and it says
very nice
on the box, Silverstone 1995, an event, in fact, my first international event of my working life was the Silverstone round of the BPR GT Championship, as it was then, where the McLarens were prevalent, but there were odd things like the Lotus Esprit Turbo, and a couple of Ferrari F40s, of which the blue one has always been gorgeous, and we've got a new class for 1990s GT cars.
Yes.
So,
what listeners won't know is the weight and the sheer length of messaging that goes behind that class
it's
description.
Painful, isn't it?
You would think 90s, but no. Apparently, it's like legal arguments over something. But anyway, I'm fairly certain that a Ferrari F40 fits. It's absolutely in the middle of the 90s. It did race at Le Mans.
Not
so
according to Wikipedia, though. If you look at the Wikipedia list of 1990s GT cars, the Ferrari F40 isn't on there, which is why there was a sort of a... That's added to the chain of WhatsApps of, oh, what about this? And what's that? And,
Is Wikipedia admissible? I don't know. I think we should... Yeah, I'm not sure that's allowed.
As it has rightly been said, every Wikipedia entry should start with what I reckon is, and then write the thing. It's about as official as that.
I know you could be accused of bias.
It's like a bloke in the pub that thinks he knows everything sitting in there in your lap.
Exactly. And I know in this instance you could be accused of bias because you want to run the car. But as you were actually there and saw it running, that counts as an eyewitness account, and I think that trumps. Anyway, I remember those. Yeah, 95 was the year the GT1, as it was becoming, really exploded, wasn't it? Because Ray, forget his surname, the Listerine man,
Ray Belm,
he had the McLarens, and he'd convinced McLaren to do that car, and he was. Gulf livery. I think there was a two-car team, Gulf liveries, wasn't that? It's all coming back to me.
Yes,
now.
I've got the, in fact.
And he probably went
right
to Le Mans. Yeah, they probably went to Le Mans. In fact, I know pretty
well,
much
they won
the fact
they
went.
Well, 95, didn't they? Because that was the McLaren entered one, and with the...
Yes, but that's the point. Not Ray had convinced them to do it. He'd invested in buying the cars. He was running the cars in the championship. They turned up at Le Mans, and the factory had said, oh, well, I've got this spare car. Let's see if we can do a deal last minute. Entered it. get some of the boy, get some of the boys to run it, which is a bit. I think was it Dave? Who was it? It wasn't Dave Price, was it? No, Dave Price was running the harness car. Anyway, it was a relatively last minute thing, and it goes and wins. And that's an interesting customer service call, isn't it? Thank you for your millions. And we beat you at Le Mans, and there we go. That was one of my favourite. We took a bunch of journalists camping, but it wasn't camping as I remember it, because they were air conditioned tents. It was all put up for
camping.
Us. It was all done for. It was very, but it rained. The significance of people that the reason the McLaren won, effectively, or one of the reasons the McLaren won, is it rained and stayed greasy for a lot of the time. Therefore, the bigger, powerful cars couldn't really keep up. But as I was PR for BMW at the time, I was quite happy with that. And it was an unexpected race win, that's for sure. Sorry, I've diverted you from your
I mean, I've Ferrari. Got this Scale Electric McLaren, which is the livery, obviously the 95 one, because it went brighter blue, didn't it, in 96. The class that we've got, I think it's basically an excuse for those who've got Revo slots to run Revo slots. Which is fine if you want to have a Revo slot. The Ferrari I've bought, it was the first slot it which really didn't deliver in terms of looks. And I remember on Slot Forum, a lot of us were going, hold on, because, you know, Slot it had turned out with the Audi R8C, which is a thing of beauty and went beautifully well. Then they came out with Porsche 956 and it was a thing of beauty and went very well. And then they came out with this Ferrari F40 and everyone went, doesn't look like a Ferrari F40. And Maurizio in those days used to engage with Slot Forum, and he came on and he said, look, there are cars competing in open competitions in Italy and beyond, which are slotified. They are bending the proportions to get an advantage on the track. This is my answer to them. This is sort of a protest car. It's not a scale model. It's meant to be a racing car. So go and race it. And if you don't like it, that's all right. I don't really like it myself, but it is what it is. So that's what it was. And never really took an interest in it. I love F40s. I love 1990s GT cars. But haven't got very many. As you can see, I'm relying on a Scale Electric at the moment. So the opportunity came up. There was one on eBay for a reasonable price. So I went for it because it was from the Silverstone race that I was at.
It was nice to have a connection like that. I mean, you know, it elevates them beyond being.
I got soaked to the bone.
I'm glad you finished that sentence. That was, I didn't go to the beer. I remember the, you've just got what I mean, haven't you? it's all right to be excited. It's okay. anyway, just steering the right side of our PG rating. this the first race with this new car is tomorrow.
No, because it hasn't arrived yet, so I'll probably have to run the Scale Electric. Because it's either that or a front-motored fly, which without the magnet is not going to be fun. So I think the Scale Electric is probably going to be the sensible option.
Sensible, if not necessarily competitive, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, the club's bought a couple of MR slot car McLaren F1s for guests and newbies to use.
But wow, why the club is very rich. The club
they're on special
rich.
Offer at the moment at Pendle Slot Racing. Speaking of Pendle Slot Racing, Scott.
Yes. Was that? Do you want me to pick up a thread there?
Well, I think we've got a top 10, haven't we, for the week?
We've got a top 10, and it is. We should end. This is not seamless, is it? So, for the second time, we've got a new. Oh, excuse me, going to cough. I'll clear my throat with the excitement, and I just need to pull my notes to the front. So
do
I
we need to start talking about this, Greg? This is the top 10
yes,
top pickers.
Top 10 top pickers. Thank you to Pendle Slot because they are providing the information on the top 10, and I'm very grateful to them because we find this very interesting. So we're working our way up, and as I said earlier, the list is only 9 long. I'm not complaining. but we don't technically know what's number 10. So number nine is the Le Mans Miniatures Chamarevacler. Is that how you pronounce it? Anyway, yes. The car that won the first Le Mans.
Yes, indeed.
And I can see the attraction of that because I think Le Mans features very strongly on slot car buyers' affections, doesn't it?
It does.
And so to get the very first one, I think, is probably not a bad thing.
And old cars as well. So, I mean, obviously, Le Mans miniatures for a long time, everyone was sort of like, ooh, a bit pricey, aren't they? You know, ooh. And then Velosaur came along, and now they look really cheap. So you can buy a 1920s car that's beautifully made for, what, a 20th the price of a Velosaur? Something like that. So
I don't think it's quite that bad, but yeah, they're getting closer.
Relatively inexpensive and a pretty thing to have. Hopefully they get driven. They deserve it.
Well, I think I'm right in saying it's about the same as an SRC Porsche or Toyota, isn't it? So
yeah.
Anyway, it's technically a restock or a reissue. So it's if we in chart parlance, it was a re-entry. Another re-entry at number
back
eight, because it's another
nine.
Restock. Back in. Well, this is back at number eight. Revo slot Datsun, and it's the red number 46, which I can. You do. Shaking your head. You don't get that one, do you?
No, just no accounting for taste.
Okay. Then in at number seven, and this was in last week's chart as well, another Revo slot, Corvette, the silver and black car. Sorry, I can't remember which race it was at, but you know the one?
I can see the attraction of a black and silver one. But having just, thanks to your good offices, got hold of a yellow fly one, I'm quite happy with that.
Good. I hope so. I hope you are when you finally get hold of it, anyway. then, talking of fly, in it now, and I'm doing numbers backwards, which is not good, so I think we're at number six. Or we might even be at number five. Hang on. One, two, three.
I think it's six.
Six. I don't, yeah. At number six is a
keep
fly.
Keep control of the numbers, great mate.
Do you know, I should probably write this down and rehearse it, shouldn't I? Anyway, at number six is a fly Porsche 911, the London to Sydney marathon car, the red one with all the girders and wheels and fuel tanks on its top. I see the attraction of that. I think, I mean, there's a number of fly sort of safari long-distance 911s been released recently, and it's probably the most interesting because it's got all the bits on it. I saw a picture of the dirty, or more accurately described, the dusty version. It looks really good. Actually, it looks better than the clean one, and normally I'm not a fan of dirty cars, so... But
it sort of needs to be a dirty one for a proper old safari, doesn't it? I mean, these days they sort of do two stages and then have to stop and kasha the cars down before they're allowed to go anywhere so that they look pretty. Whereas
is kashering a verb, is it?
It is.
Yes, sponsorship slots are available for German jet washing. And I think probably my lack of fondness for weathering, let me put it that way, stems from the early days with SCX, where you would get a car and someone would have sat at the factory with a paintbrush with some brown paint on it and splattered it, which was bad enough. But the most unrealistic one was the snow effect, which was they just did the same thing with white paint.
Yes.
So you just had this car covered in bits
which
of white paint.
Which ruined Rally Portugal Audi Quattro, the sexy black Michel Mouton Audi Quattro.
Oh, yes.
It's covered in snow. Well, it's not covered in snow. It looks like it's had an accident in a white paint factory.
Pretty accurate description, yeah, it has.
So, there
anyway, the new the fly Porsche doesn't look like that. Now, at number five, I've caught on doing now, at number five is a big entry. You see where I'm going here. It's TTS Alfa Romeo.
Yes.
33.
Yes.
So 1/24th scale.
My club mate Franco, who is...
Presently in Italy.
Presently in Italy, in his ancestral homestead. is now in possession of one of these articles, because he tried to get one from Pendle and they had sold out. So he's found one in its natural habitat and he's bringing it back next week.
Wow.
So
interesting. Yeah. We'll hopefully get to see that. Yeah. Mind you, we don't run 1/24th of any expensive things.
No. And as much as Franco may try and sort of, well, wouldn't it be nice to try? Yeah, it would be nice to try. But we're not spending that sort of money. Thank you very much. Enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it's nice. I imagine it's a very nice thing. Right, number four, an import, if you like. So the first of two, a Skeletric Ford Falcon, one of the Australia only limited editions, I guess we should call them. And at number three, can you guess what's at number three?
Well, if there's a Ford, there's going to be a Holden.
There's a whole the Skeletric Holden Tirana.
Which is a beautiful thing, and I really, 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 really want one, but I know it's not going to be brilliant on the track because
I think it's
old Tirana was not very brilliant on the track, but it was very, 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 okay. Very pretty.
I find it interesting that obviously there's a sufficient demand for these Australia only ones. That somebody, presumably this Australian distributor, is flogging them back into Europe and maybe even America, I don't know. So why don't Skeletric just put it into the regular catalogue? I mean, maybe it wouldn't be so special, you see. Maybe it's got that air of illicit contraband, you know, that it's come, it's gone that way around the world and it's come all the way back.
Well, I mean, because anyway, the Aussie supercars used to be made in Australia, didn't they? They were sort of designed and made.
I didn't know that. Is that when they were...
The Black Window PI'd, mate. Were done by a man in a shed under license or whatever, with permission from Scale Extra. And they were special. And I think, I don't know, the Australians just like having their own stuff, which is fine. Well, but we want
I'm glad to. You said, though, we wanted to, we don't want to left out. I'm glad you said those early ones are special because I may have a few. Which I don't think I've ever run, really. Because at the time, even when I got them, there was a, oh, these are special. They look forward to topping up my slot car budget with a few of those being sold. Says the man who has, as of yet, never, ever sold a slot car.
Well, we just love all things Australian anyway in this country. It's all the fault of importing neighbours in the 80s. At which point everyone's voices started going up at the end of each sentence, as if they were asking a question every single time.
It wasn't all good, though. I mean, Skippy for me, yep, that was, you know, that's what Australia was. Not neighbours. And actually, you know, if you push me on soaps, I was more of a home and away kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Anyway, there you are. Moving number two on the slot car chart, supplied by Pendle. Thank you very much. Slot it, Porsche, Canon, Hightail, which I think is very interesting, very pretty car. And was the original Canon Longtail version, was it the first or one of the first issues of that?
Yeah, they brought out two together, didn't they? They brought out the Kenwood and the Canon. So the Andretti car and the GTI engineering car.
Yeah. Yeah, Jan Lammers and...
Dr. Jonathan Palmer. Else was it?
And not Tiff, I don't think. But anyway.
No. So I've got that first one, and then I've actually done another Canon Longtail from 85, when they helped Just to win it, because they were doing NASCAR-style slipstreaming to save fuel.
Okay, clever boys. There's been some folk... And I will, you know, it's contentious that, you know, this is a livery they've already done. Well, it isn't really, because it's a high tail versus a low tail, different race. And so what? I don't get why slot car. If there's a nice car, even if they did it 2 years ago, 10 years ago, why not just do it again?
It's also
people want to buy it.
A very historically important car.
Oh, tell me.
Well, it was the first one where the team threw away the original Porsche chassis and built their own. because it was obviously the first monocoque that Porsche had ever built for racing. They built it out of aluminium, and it was stiff enough. But then the likes of Jonathan Palmer and Senna famously got in them and went, this thing's flexing around like nobody's business. It's horrible. So GTI Engineering built one out of honeycomb instead of sheet aluminium. And later, obviously, they started having tubs made out of carbon. So the car that you would buy from Porsche for, I think it was £220,000, and you could go and race it. You bought it in the spec that it had won Le Mans the previous year. So it arrived with a long tail, and if you wanted a high tail, you had to spend another 12 grand. and you had to buy the nose cone that goes with it as well. So all of that sort of stuff. And the team looked at the tub and went, yeah, you're right, that is a bit wobbly. So they made one out of honeycomb, and that is that car. And then once everyone sort of took a look at that and realised, that's us here, everyone started building their own chassis.
Good stuff. See, the man who wrote the book, excellent. We get all this. As far as I'm aware, I don't know whether the chassis on the slot is different. It probably is, actually, isn't it?
From no, Maurizio, he's probably found a gram or two to save in the body. There's a chamfer here and something else there, and it's all tickety boo. It'll be much quicker than any other 956.
Anyway, a very pretty car, and I think, that's the good. But number one, fanfare, and it's a good day for Italy, because number one is a Policar BRM, which the new green version of the, is it P153?
153, that one,
Pedro Rodriguez. I had some humour. I mean, I know when we get a Skeletric car particularly, we'll go, oh, that grommet is not quite in the right place, and oh, look, they haven't put the helmet on. Anyway, and we sort of give, to some degree, we give Policar Slot a bit of a free pass. I know the front wheels don't quite touch the track. That doesn't really bother me. You can sort that. But somebody pointed out that Pedro is sitting quite high in the car. And I hadn't really appreciated, because it looks okay. But then when you look at a picture of the real car with the real man inside it, he's so low down. He's practically kind of stretching his neck to see over the top of the cowling. So once seen, it's kind of, yes. So I suggested that they do what I did with Mario Andretti and John Watson recently, which is to sand their bottoms off so that they sit a little bit lower. And it was more successful with John Watson than Mario Andretti. There was more to take off, shall we say. But anyway, apparently that doesn't work in the Policar car, because the driver is effectively a kind of cover for the motor. There's no down to go. If you lowered his helmet to the right height for the body, you'd have the motor coming out of his chin. anyway, these are all nitpicks. I think it's a lovely thing. I've already got a Balbra one and Yardley one. I know they're later versions, but so I'll probably resist this one. But
I'm severely tempted by it, I have to say. I do like the green and orange of BRMs originally, before commercial sponsorship came and polluted the water. But, yeah.
Filthy looker.
And obviously we now have a class where they're eligible to run against the Scalextrics and the Flies that we already run. They're now being allowed in, which I had thought was going to be, you have to buy a Policar, and that's that. But our dedicated Lawrence at the club, he is our one and only Lawrence at the club, has been building a white kit of the Ferrari 312 B3 by Policar. And he has now done it after much swearing and trying to find ways to route the wires around the front axle without them binding up completely. I think he's pretty much there with it in terms of making it a working car. So he decided to do a back-to-back track test with his other Ferrari 312 B2, which is the Scalextric one with the Johnson motor from the mid-70s, which we run in our Scalextric Formula 1 with or without pants. Because some of them had underpants on and some of them didn't in that era. So we call it With or Without Pals. And he recorded...
It's not a group of men in a basement not wearing pants. That just to make that clear.
Particularly not at a...
Not
at the Church of England primary school.
Well, you see that. But anyway, yeah, carry on, sorry.
I think he said his best time with the Scale Electric one was a 9.1 seconds. And his best time so far with the Polycar is a 9.2 seconds.
This begs the question, and I'm not entirely surprised, but it begs the question, which tyres has he got on this electric car?
Soft ones available from eBay.
Some sticky ones. Because I have that similar Skeletric car and I put it on replacement. I think they were Wasp tyres. And it's wickedly quick because the rear axle is quite wide. Yeah. And if you put sticky tyres on it, then it goes rather well. Oh, well, so that's interesting then. So it's not a... There could be an old world versus the new world battle then. It could be
I think all the F1s
technology keep the old stages.
Do about the same lap time. I think all my ones do. So we've got SCX F1 as a class. We've got the narrow motored electric and fly. And we've got the with or without pants class. And I think they all lap within a tenth or two of each other. So Polycar makes beautiful things with precise gears and all the rest of it. But they're not actually any quicker than a 1970s scale electric was.
I think if you put the sticky tyres on the Polycar, though, it would just leave everything for dead. I think but yeah, I mean, they're very smooth, unlike the track. But maybe that's it. Maybe the nature of that bumping.
And the fact that we don't use brakes. The brakes are switched off.
This is a crucial factor, actually. Many people who go club racing will wonder quite how weird it is. So crash and burn and no brakes, but there you go. Other religions are available. anyway, so that's the top 10. And interesting, the top pre-order, so that list we've given you is all cars which have sold or are selling. The top pre-order, can you guess what the top pre-order might be? Well, you can, because I told you earlier.
Yeah, well, I forgot. I'm going to say Batmobile, because that's the one that I want. The 1989 Batmobile.
The 1989? Oh, the new big one. It may possibly. The top pre-order is the Thunder Slot Ferrari.
Oh.
And I have added to that. I have instantly. So that will be my first Thunder Slot. It's having tried a few round at another track, they are very nice. And... the Ferrari was a definite one. Interesting, missing from the list is the big yellow taxi, which was number one last week.
Maybe they've all
gone. And I suspect maybe they've all gone. Maybe they've sold out, or maybe there's it's going to be interesting as we go on. And genuinely, we don't know how this is going to evolve, obviously. Whether the list kind of changes completely week from week. This one hasn't. I mean, the Revo Corvette is in there. And I think the Fly... A safari car was in there, London to Sydney car was in there as well. But it'd be interesting to see whether people just order, slot cars come into stock and they're buy now and then they've got a very long, low tail, or whether there's a sustained interest.
Funnily enough, anyway, I was watching Stephen King's It last night, the original film version with the bloke from the Waltons in it. And Tim Curry was playing the clown. And one of those taxis was in it, and I thought.
Yes.
Scale Electric, you missed a trick there. It could be the It taxi.
Well, maybe. So the guys who do the figures, they made my little Robin going back to Batman. Remember, I bought that little beautiful made little Robin to go in my Batmobile. Are they called 132 something? Sorry, guys, can't remember the exact name. 132 something. Make figures. And they do people like Charlie's Angels or Dukes of Hazzard figures to go by the cars. Maybe... So they could tap into the taxi
Pennywise
movie market,
the clown.
And they could do Pennywise the Clown. And I've never watched that film. I don't like clowns as it is.
So you will seriously lose the plot. But they did remake it a couple of years ago, and you will totally lose the plot over that one. This modern special effects. But Tim Curry is unreplaceable.
I'm not
in anything.
Yes, in many ways, that's true.
We're going to be watching him tonight in The Three Musketeers. He plays Cardinal Richelieu.
Oh, you, is that the proper, as I refer to it, the proper Three Musketeers?
That's Richard Chamberlain and Oliver Reed, isn't it? No, we're going the Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland route.
Oh, pale shadow of amateur dramatics in comparison to the proper one. I love those films. I digress now from films. Talking of watching things, though, and I inspired by my session with Vanquish and Can-Ams and stuff. I the other week, I dug out some more of my Can-Ams, mostly Fly 917s and things.
Was there a most beautiful slot car ever made in the mix? Do you own the most beautiful slot car ever made? The Shadow.
The MR slot car one. No. I have touched one. I've held it in my hand. That's your mind. I have held one in my hand. And I can't remember if I drove or not. It's very nice. It's very nice. But leading on from that, I found on YouTube an hour and a half long documentary about the history of Can-Am. Narrated by Sam Posey and Jim Hall. Jim Hall doesn't say much. And it goes through, it's a bit like the old Formula One season review where you got like sort of 5 minutes per race. This is like sort of 5-10 minutes per year. And it's paddock footage and but some race footage and stuff. And just enough to say, here's a new car, here's what it did, here's what happened. And I didn't really know much about Can-Am because it's kind of happened at a time before the internet and all that sort of thing. Lovely, lovely film. So if you're looking for some Can-Am history. But what intrigued me was there was at least one other livery of that car. They weren't all just black. There was a black one with orange and yellow stripes, which looked very flashy. So I imagine that will be winging its way to the world once everyone's bought a black one.
Can-Am's never really been a thing for me. But in the 80s, there was the, I can't remember, the Thunder Sports Championship that raced in Britain, and John Fulston and John Brindley used to share one of the Batmobile McLarens. In fact, it was used to scare the living bejesus out of me, because if you're wandering around the paddock as like a 12-year-old boy and they start one of those things up right next to you when you're not expecting it, and just it would shake your chest. So I've always got a soft spot for those McLarens, but as a championship and as a thing to collect, I'm out. I might get one of those McLarens one day.
No. Well, I realised by accident I had a slotted McLaren. I have a Carrera McLaren, and I have a Vanquish McLaren. In essence, the same car. And sadly, only two of them have got Denny Hulme as the driver, because it was perfect. You'll appreciate the PR man, and you will see where I was going here. It was going to be three bears, because of the size. There was going to be Daddy Bear, Mummy Bear, and Baby Bear, because they are quite different in size. But when you put the Vanquish is too big, the Slotted is too small, the Carrera is somewhere in the middle. So I thought, if only I'd known that, and if only I could find a Carrera with Denny Hulme driving, then it would be, I'd have the three bears in. For those who don't, Denny Hulme's nickname was the Bear.
Deservedly so.
I think he was a very strong man. I met him.
Joe Saywood tells a great story about, because he was in touring cars in the late 80s, wasn't he? And he did the European Championship.
I stood beside him. Sorry, I'm going to name drop. I stood beside him while he was waiting on Jeff Allam winning the TT in a TWR Rover. 1986, and he wasn't stroppy at all. He was quite charming. So, but that's my.
Well, Joe Saywood was the Autosport correspondent for ETCC, and he tells a story. This is like a small, very cute, adorable child came up to him with sort of big cow eyes and an autograph book, and he was told to go forth and multiply in no in no mean sense.
That's just it was just being. That's just that's just. He's just being antipodean, that's all that one. Anyway. I'm sure that wasn't what they called. So, yes, where did we get? How did we get to the year?
Can-Ams.
I don't know. Me remembering what I watched on YouTube, Can-Ams. Fascinating. I was amazed that what I didn't realize consciously is that 1970 was it six? What was the first season? 1969. Well, anyway, the first year of the championship.
64.
You had Surtees. Yeah. You had.
That was where Surtees hurt himself.
Was even earlier. Anyway. But well, when this series started, you've got Surtees, you've got Stewart, you've got the McLaren boys. So you know McLaren and Hulme, who are you know current Formula One drivers. Graham Hill was driving. I think it was the BRM or something. No, the driving pool was amazing. And I just thought for a moment on the logistics in late 60s terms of flying back and forward between Europe and wherever to North America to go and do a 200-mile race or for the weekend. Now, I know that was lucrative. It must have been very lucrative. It must have been very lucrative because you know, flying now is god-awful. Flying then... took a lot longer and was a lot more wearing, shall we say, although the airports were smaller, so that was all right. Anyway, enough about YouTube. Rallying.
Indeed.
Rallying's back on the agenda, not least because you were working on Croatia Rally, but which was a bit mental.
It was. It was a really good one. It as good a spectacle as eight cars can provide over 4 days. It was... isn't it pathetic? But there we are.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there are more than eight cars in the rally.
There were
68
cars.
It's just there's only eight cars in the top class.
68 cars, and it was all pretty much good battles, but certainly the top three pulled away from everyone else. So Neville, Hyundai putting him out on the wrong tyres every single time without fail was quite amusing. Elfyn Evans doing Elfyn things quietly, but very quickly. And Ogier with a rubbish road position, terribly dirty roads, and still keeping up with them 10 weeks after he'd last sat in a car was very impressive. And then on the final morning, two stages to go, Elfyn spins, doesn't damage the car, but drops behind Ogier. Next car through is Neville, and he tears all the aero off the car and finishes third, very annoyed with his co-driver. Who, as they came over the end of the last stage, Martijn, the co-driver, just sort of put his visor down and just sort of sat there like that. Poor sod. So, yeah, there we are.
Oh, dear.
I was busy doing that, which meant that I couldn't go to the Isle of Man and couldn't then take part in the actual rally of the weekend, which was round three of this year's slot rally, GB. I think it's three, isn't it?
It is. It's the third one, yeah. Overseas, the people literally had to get either a ferry exactly. or a plane because it's on an island. For those non-British listeners, the Isle of Man is actually... Well, I'm going to get this pretty cool. It's not part of Britain in terms of politically or whatever, legally. They've got different political system and leaders, but it's this tiny little island between England and Ireland, and it's a sort of protectorate, I think, isn't it? So it's very British in style and feel, but it's its own thing.
Nigel Mansell anyway. Moved there for tax reasons, and Jeremy Clarkson moved there for tax reasons. It's a very handy place if you've got a lot of money. So, Classic class. Should we go through classic class? Let's just say congratulations to the top three in each one. So
on,
that
then.
Was won by that John Underwood.
Yep.
That John Underwood racking up the miles again in the national hard
body. Anyone,
the
most travelled, yeah, the most travelled slot car racer
yes,
in Britain.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Well, he used an SRC Porsche 914/6, as you would, because that is the go-to choice for most people. But local hero Kevan Rimmer, known to many and loved by many on the fora of slot racing. Was second with a Scale Electric TR7.
Thank you for. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that's not. That can't be a standard
no,
one.
It's got a
No, unless he's a genius driver.
Kevin
no.
is well known for designing and printing things of a 3D nature. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be one of his chassis under there. So well done him. He's made something that can compete with the SRCs and the MSC Di Tommaso's, which also were in the top three, pedalled by that John Underwood. So John was first and third, split by Kevin's rather special scale electric TR7. I don't know if he qualifies as a... No, it doesn't. It's not the fastest scale electric entry because it's got to be all standard, apart from the tyres. So
okay,
wasn't
right.
the fastest scale electric. Mr. Barry was fourth with a SRC Porsche 914. And yeah, Ninco Jaguar XK120s, quite favourite amongst the Manx Classic Rally Brigade.
See, it's an old stalwart, that car. It's great. It's narrow. It's quick. It's stable. So, you know, okay, you might not win, but you'll have a great time if you enter a Ninco Jag. Anyway, that's the classics. What about the other classes? What who won the mod Drew?
80s, 90s? Hold on. 80s, 90s.
Oh, 80s, 90s.
Was a win for Mr. Kevin. Now, on Slot Forum, Kevin and I hope he takes it in the right spirit when I tease him about his choices for rally cars, because some of them were never rally cars. And he's won with a car that was never really a rally car. It's a slotted Nissan R32. The Skyline Godzilla.
Not a rally car? Did it ever?
It was eligible. It was a Group A car. And some whom in Australia has decided to go and run one in a classic rally. So now it becomes eligible for slot rally. So, Kevin, well done. Homework done. To the letter of the law, that is a rally car. So,
Well, unexpected Nissan in the slot car rally, yes.
Well, he beat himself into second place with the Lancia 037. Thank God I finished that sentence. It wasn't a celebration. And in third place...
I hope he took it well, yes.
Phil Barry with an Avant Slot Ferrari 308. Now, here we do actually somewhere have an actual scale electric in last place. Alan Birchmore.
Oh, well done. I applaud anyone who enters the rally with an actual scale. As you know, I lived up to my own words at our winter event between Christmas and New Year, and I ran the Escort, and I didn't come last, but it wasn't far short. I think I was saved because there was one stage was super smooth, and the car worked really well, and every other stage it didn't. So anyway, but well done.
Well done. The Scalextric was beaten to last by a standard SCX Ford Sierra as well. So well done to Ed Kelly and Alan Birchmore for being the highest placed Scalextric and SCX cars, both in
Ordinary cars. Yeah, ordinary cars. Well done, guys. That is exactly. Spirit of the rally.
And there are not one, but two slotted Mercedes 190 DTMs on the entry list. I know Phil Barry has done the decent thing and put the Hobby Classic Group A body on his, but really. And so, modern class. We have got Kevin Rimmer, once again, topping out with an SCX Citroen Zara.
Local boy does good indeed.
Whether or not it's on 3D chassis, don't know. But it would be a massive result. Wouldn't it be great if an SCX Citroen Zara, which is a very quick car on a rally stage, very competent built, wouldn't it be great if an RX motor shaft-driven four-wheel drive was still the quickest thing in modern? I don't think it is, but...
It would be unexpected, but
and
wonderful,
he finished ahead of John Underwood with his NSR Porsche 997 Le Mans car, who finished ahead of Andy Corrin with his NSR Aston Martin ASV Le Mans car. So, let's hear it for the SCX Citroen Zara, shall we?
Let's hit for the SCX, yeah. Well, I shall, I'm going to. I realised this week because regular listeners will think, Scott, why haven't you been entering any of the slot rallies? Because you've been banging on about it for ages, and I still am. It turned out I fully intended to go to the Abergavenny round, and I've only realised, looking forward in my diary, that I've actually booked tickets for an air show that day. I won't be going to the Abergavenny
round. I will.
Sorry, boys.
And I shall hopefully get some decent leg pulling about me banging on about Le Mans cars and DTM cars, because, you know, we can give and we can take.
Well, you should end.
I should find something interesting
to
enter.
You should look to see if... find somebody who was a 956 entered something, you know, and then go with that.
But we do.
I remember Gareth used to cause slight controversy the back of the. So see, Gareth used to cause slight controversy because he would run the pink car Ferrari 250 GTO, and I think it was at the Tour of France or something. I was stretching the point that it was a rally, but yeah, it qualified. It wasn't very quick, but
well,
it qualified.
Well, we do have something to look forward to in these matters, which was the recently announced Avant-Slot Toyota Yaris GR Rally 2.
Exactly. Well, you wait 20 years for a slot car Toyota rally car, and then two come along at once, because SCX are doing the top car, the hybrid car, and now Avant-Slot are doing the Rally 2 car, which... In the way that slot works, of course, the advanced slot car will be much quicker than the SCX car, I imagine. And the good news is it's plastic and it's four-wheel drive and all that sort of
and
thing.
And hopefully so it makes something approaching the noise of the real one, because the real one is a three-cylinder and it sounds very much like a Porsche when it's going through the stages. It came third in Croatia in the hands of Sami Pajari. And only by 0.3 seconds, which after 4 days, well, 3 days of rallying is not bad. So
it's not too bad.
It beat Gus Greensmith by 0.3. But yeah, it's an exciting thing to see a proper modern.
And we do so the what we've seen so far has been CAD images, I think, isn't it, of the which look very detailed and look great. How far away that is from the actual car? 6 months, maybe a bit more. But that's good. No, excellent. So things to look forward to. There's always another slot car to want. There's a t-shirt. Right then. We should probably say goodbye to the nice people who've listened this far. I was banging on about rallying, but you know we haven't done it for a while, so you're going to let. You've got. It'll give us a. It's the prop. I think slot rally is the best form of motorsport that you can replicate in.
Yes.
Slot, and that's controversial because I suppose endurance racing. I've reminded myself, haven't I, about endurance racing with digital. Maybe it was subconsciously trying not. Anyway, I went along for my second round of the Worthing HO Digital GT Championship, and you know, regular memories. Listeners may remember that, you know, I did quite well at the first round. Or my team, anyway, we were first and we got medals. Fantastic. And so I turned up and the first shock was that I'd been transferred. I'd been given to another team because the team I was on was fine, but there was another team who were down somebody. And sadly, unfulfilled promise. The team that I was given to went, oh, great, you're joining us. And I drove fifth. So we do 20-minute stints, and it's a two-hour race, basically. And I was terrible. I did the least laps of anybody all night.
It was
26 people.
Not just a race, was it? This was a race in intermediate conditions.
So it was wet, and so far I've been lucky. The weather has been dry, so it's just like driving a regular slot car. This time the weather was wet, and it got drier as the race was going on. So by the time I was coming in, the guy said, "Oh, well, let's try putting it on intermediates." Now I'd often wondered how does digital replicate, because the car is the same. You know, how does it replicate slippy track? Well, I quickly discovered how it replicates slippy track when you let off the throttle. It accelerates like Banjax. So it was me coming down a long straight, coming to a corner, easing off, and whoosh, And then there was part of the track had sort of a series of S bends, a bit like Suzuka. And I could not get my brain round how to get round. Bless you. I could not get my brain on how to get round there, because if I braked, I could have stopped and then I got hit up the rear, or if I kept a steady throttle, the car accelerated too much. And if I let off, then the car accelerated too much. So I was, in 20 minutes, I singularly failed to understand what I was doing. It was terrible, absolutely terrible. So I've apologised to the guys who were... who were given me, as it were, as a turned out to be a liability. Well, sorry, I think we still finished fourth or something. So, but you know, a big lesson. But what it means, and although I like to say I'm not competitive, obviously I am. I feel as though I need to go some practice session where I can try driving the car in different weather conditions, because it is very alien. It's very alien. Something speeding up when you take your finger off the throttle is just not.
It makes turning the brakes off sound very sensible, to be honest with you.
Well, this has always been my core. You see, I said I do well in these things, as I'm used to driving without brakes. Therefore, I don't, you know, I don't lean on the brakes too much. Now it was the complete reverse. It was a let off in plenty of time, and then whoa! Anyway, there we go. So the next round is next month. So I'll probably find nobody wants me. Team. Just pray for good weather. Pray for good weather. And on that, wet, damp squib of an evening, it was still good fun, I have to say. I mean, I was one of the guys came and said, was that fun? And I went, well, no, I wasn't having fun. But it's yes, it's good fun. But no, I wasn't having fun. I was very frustrated. There we go. It was good time. Right. We should say goodbye to the nice people. Thank you for listening. Thanks again to Pendle for supplying the top 10. And goodbye. We'll see you soon.